let you know who we are speaking to. We are speaking to today, listen, we are speaking to today those that might feel like they have gone as far as they can go. That you've done everything you could and you have put all of your effort and energy and you've done just about everything you could and you've gone as far. You've gone as what?
Far.
As far as you think you can go and you just don't know what to do. We want to speak to today people. Listen, it's very unique. Don't not just frustrated people, but watch this kind of a twist to this is that people that look like on the outside, everything is in place. You've got a relationship. You might be in marriage. You might be doing well in school. You might have a good income. Cars are working well. You might be doing things that everybody else maybe on the outside thinks are going well. No ills, no aches or anything like that. But something going on the inside is you're walking around in frustration. Yeah. I'm talking about sometimes there's this situation where things like, no, nothing's wrong. I'm just not happy. Are you with me? But I also want to speak to people that are dealing with things in the flesh. And I'm not talking about physical, but flesh is also a word that means our old nature. Like something that just in the old nature that still has us hooked up and hooked on. And we are just found ourselves bound to something and a self-limiting habit or what we call a crazy cycle. Because, you know, one particular member in our family in the body says this, you know, every time we make one step forward, something happens where we take two steps back. Are you with me? Or we're talking about, get this, we're speaking to people that you know that God lit a fire in your life. I'm talking about Jesus himself did something so extraordinary in your life that it was a fire in your life. And now you just don't know what happened, if the pilot light went out or you feel numb or, you know, you don't feel warm, you feel empty. It's like something blew it out or turned it off. Are you with me? And so today we want to speak about and speak to people that might feel like they've gone as what? Far as they could go. People that are dealing with internal what? You feel like you're bound in your old what? And those that know that they once had a
fire,
but they need to know what to do now. I want to start that off by telling you a testimony. Say testimony.
Testimony.
Say testimony.
Testimony.
How many know that testimony is encouragement?
Yes.
Testimony lets you know and it translates into things in the Word of God are actually taking place in real life. How many know that if the word just stayed dormant and was on pages but never was made flesh, we would think it's just ancient writings that never came to life? But how many know that God will turn the word into living flesh? Are you with me?
Yeah.
I'd like to share with you a testimony. I'd like to share with you a what?
Testimony.
I first of all like to bless right now. And after I tell you this, I want you to genuinely celebrate with me. We're so thankful to have Dad Bowles with us, him and his wonderful bride, you know, Pastor Jeremy's mom and dad, and they are Gideon. They are what?
Gideon.
And I want you to know that they were at ISU campus giving out with the rest of the team. Here he is all the way back over. How many know that once you serve one place, just because you leave that one place, that means you just go serve somewhere else. Amen. And they were here and they were giving out Bibles. And he told me that they gave out 3,700 and something Bibles on the campus of Iowa State when they just did it. Come on, let's thank God for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Me and Anna Maria had an opportunity in our reception in Tennessee that we're sitting next to this couple, really precious couple, and just really full of God and full of things of God. And the young man, the man was a Gideon, And he told us this testimony. And I want to preface this by saying this. I understand that I have tendencies to speak about things that seemingly are polarized. What I mean by that is I talk about things that are like maybe outside of the realm of what, you know, you don't feel like it reaches or touches you. Are you with me? In other words, I might be talking about somebody that is homeless or out on the street or somebody on drugs, or I might talk about somebody in divorce or something like that, and you feel like, no, that doesn't apply to me. But I want you to know something, that even though I have tendencies to speak about things on polarized ends, here's the key, that if I tell testimonies about things on the polarized ends, that means whatever you're going through, God most definitely can take care of. How many know that if I tell you something way out there, like, wow, that was unbelievable, then it ought to be believable for you to know that if God can do that, he can do something with me too. Come on, give the Lord a praise offering for that. Amen. Listen, here's a testimony. The Gideons were, someone was giving out Bibles in front of a school, as they so much do. It was a grade school or a middle school or a high school, and they're giving out Bibles at the school, and all of a sudden they're giving them out to the children coming out and everything like that. And how many know that some child who might be a little bit rambunctious, a little bit more, you know, just kind of resistant and things like that, came and mocked them as they were giving out the Bibles, mocked them. And how many know that even though it's the things of God, people want to mock us? How many know you're living for Christ and you just feel like you are being what? And here they were giving out Bibles. And as they're giving out the Bibles, this child comes out and is mocking them. Don't nobody want this Bible? What are you doing out here? What are you doing, old man? What are you doing? Take this. You don't nobody want this. And he took the Bible from the person and then just flung it on top of the roof. But how many of you know that God's word will not fail? How many know God's word will not what?
Fail.
Here's this young man. Took it from this older man and took it in front of his face and just threw it up on top of the roof. And when he threw the Bible up on top of the roof, what he didn't know that there was a child up there that was about to jump off and take his life. And he picked up the Bible because it lands up on the roof. He picks it up, reads, because you know the Gideons has all of these categories, and they reads and he gets saved. He comes down, and not only did he accept Jesus Christ, but he kept his life and didn't commit suicide. Come on! Glory to God. God's word will not fail, and God will not be mocked, because even in the midst when the enemy thinks that he's mocking you and taunting you, God's word will not come back void. And now, this is what he said. He says, you know what the mockery of it is? That if the old man had tried to do it himself, he wouldn't have been able to do it. But God took a young man to make sure the Bible would reach on top so the young boy could get saved. Give the Lord a big glorifying God. Jesus. Come on, let's put this in application then. If that's the case, then no matter where you are and how far you've gone, he must can get to you. That means no matter what you might be frustrated about, God can get his word to you. That means his testimony is that, you know what, maybe you've been bound in your flesh and maybe you think you've come to your end, but God can get a word to you. That means that, you know what, you once felt like you had a fire. God wants you to know what to do with that fire. And everybody said amen. Can I get you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 9? Luke chapter 9. I'm going to read this out of the New King James Version. And I'm going to start at verse 18. If you would please follow along with me, that'll be wonderful. Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 18. And it happened as he was alone praying. As he was alone what? That his disciples joined him, and he asked them, saying, come on, God. Thank you, Jesus. Who do the crowds say that I am? So they answered and said, John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others say that one of the old prophets has risen again. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said, the Christ of God. And he strictly warned and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then he said to them all, red letter edition, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words of him, the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his glory and his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. Everybody said amen. Are you all remembering that we just have shared messages about these things? Are y'all with me? Yes. Keep going. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to... Come on, he went up to the mountain to what?
Pray.
Y'all remember earlier he was praying and he was alone? Are you with me? And as he... The appearance of his face was altered and his robe became white and glistening. Other translations say that he was transformed. This is the passage of scripture that speaks about Jesus being transformed. About Jesus being what?
Transformed.
So when we look at this particular reading of the text in Luke 9, 18 to 29, of course found in Matthew as well and in the book of Mark, because this is a hallmark moment that they wanted it, that these each of these writers wanted it recorded, that we have this book opened up and we see here just an imagery of how many of you know that when you are transformed, you are changed. When you are transformed, you are what?
Changed.
This is very important, everybody. These words are highly important. In other words, when Jesus was transfigured, when he was what? He was transformed. He was what? And that word transform means metamorpho, like metamorphosis, like what a butterfly goes through. It's not that he becomes a better worm. He does not become a better caterpillar. He becomes something brand new because he's changed. Because he's what?
Changed.
And therefore, the word transfigured, Jesus was transfigured. He was transformed. He was metamorpho. Ultimately, it means that Jesus was changed. Jesus was what?
Changed.
Amen. You know, I want to talk about this because it's vitally important that you know something about myself and that you know something about BCC, that you know something about our ministry leadership team, our pastors, our growing in maturity, our Yo BCC. If you come in through here about anything, I need you to understand more than anything else, we are about one thing, about one person, and that's Jesus. I'm going to say that again. We are about Jesus. We are about what? I want to make sure I'm being very clear. When I talk about we are Jesus, we are not just Jesus people. We are Jesus fanatics. We are Jesus-centered. Brandon, I mean, everything is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Are you hearing me? When I say that, we're talking about Jesus' crucifixion. We're talking about everything he accomplished on the cross. We're talking about everything that he died for. When he died and he sacrificed his life, we are here because we are about Jesus. When he was buried in a tomb that was called borrowed, we're doing that and we talk about his death because he's just as important as his death as he is in his life, because we are all about Jesus. He's not only about his death and his burial, but we want to talk about his resurrection because we only talk about the things that's related to, draw every back thing back to Jesus. When we talk about Jesus, we're talking about how he was lifted up, how he was raised from the dead. Why did he come back to raise from the dead? To make sure we got what he came for and what he paid for and that we got it. He's not only the one that is the testator, the covenant, but he's the Christ cutter. And he himself wanted to make sure we got what he came, paid for, died for. And then because he sacrificed for it, he got up for it. And then he wanted us to have newness of life. Because everything we do, talk about, everything we sing about, everything we give, everything offering we take, it's all about Jesus. When we talk about Jesus, we talk about how Jesus served. We're talking about how Jesus healed. We're talking about how Jesus was transforming others. We're talking about how Jesus, when he discipled others, he said, come and be my disciples. We're talking about Jesus because he came in human form. The Bible says in Hebrews, he is the express image of the invisible God. So even when you talk about God, look at Jesus. When you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. We here, we only deal with one thing, and that's Jesus. I pray no matter what comes out my mouth, I don't care if I slip and fall in one of my antics, I don't care if I spit hallelujah my voice, God forbid, I want you to know I might be whispering, but I'm whispering Jesus. Somebody say amen. Glory to God. I told first service, I'm going to tell you too, I don't mind if I'm the most excited one in the room. Amen. Glory to God. We are here to be about who? You know, there's been a thread that has been going through our semester. We've never given it a name or a series, But we want to make sure everybody knows so that you can remember it, so you come and tie everything back to it, is that we've been talking about like this, the prayer for impossible situations. In other words, we never gave it a name, but most of the message, like when Sister Dr. Patience came, it was all about prayer. It was all about what?
Prayer.
And we talk about prayer because we want to be people of prayer. We want to be people of what?
Prayer.
Not only, hey, Sister Jacora, we not only want to be people of prayer, but we also want to be people that are people of possibilities. People of what? I love this imagery because you know what? Even though that eraser is crumbling off, it's getting rid of the M so that we know we get rid of the impossibles and we become and make things possible. We make things what?
Possible.
Because the Bible says with man this is impossible, but with God all things are what?
Possible.
With God all things are what?
Possible.
Hallelujah. So therefore there's this theme about prayer. There's this thread about possible. There's this one thing I want you to understand is that when we reread this passage of scripture, there are things I'm going to refer to in a minute, but I want you to remember this also, is that Jesus Christ, he was transfigured because he transforms, metamorphoses, and changes people.
Yes.
Isn't that good? And look up there, he also changes situations. He also changes what?
Situations.
And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Come on, say, I didn't hear you online. Can I? All right, amen. Today, I want you to write that down. Here's the title for today, The Express Entries to Elevation. Say that with me, The Express Entries to Elevation. One more time, The Express Entries to Elevation. You know, white one on the highway, there sometimes you need to get in the right lane to make sure you can go faster. Now, I know, see, you shouldn't be saying that as loud, my God, amen. We hope that there's no Iowa Patrol online, amen? You know, there's things that some of us need to know that we want to get into the express lane. We want to get into the what? Because the express lane represents us, the Lord. We want to get there faster. And I want you to know there are ways to get places. How many know when you put it in GPS in Google or maybe Maps or whatever, they give you three different ways? Now, why somebody would ever want to go 3 hours and only take 2.5, I never know, amen? Unless you might take a trip for some White Castles. I can't get any help up in here. Amen. Hey. But my point here is that, y'all like that one, didn't you? Listen, I want you to know that we want to get into the express lane, which is some entryways to elevation. To what?
Elevation.
To elevation. Amen. Everybody turn their Bibles to Romans chapter 12. We want to study one verse today. We're going to study one verse today. I'm going to read this from the New King James Version. Even if I might do something very odd of me today, I'm trying to be reverent towards our starting point lunch today. And so I hope I can brisk through this message in such a way that we gain the points that God wants us to hear. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
I want you to see this one verse. I'm going to read it out loud. New King James Version. Please pay attention. Let's not be those that just sits and listens, but maybe read with us, like in a sense, follow along as I read. New King James says this, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. We're going to study that one verse today. Is that all right? Is that all right? But what we want to do is I'm becoming more and more persuaded and convinced that it's the reading of the word that feeds and nourishes us. And so if you don't mind, if you would be so inclined to just follow along as I attempt to read to you, I want to read how this verse is dropped in context. Is everybody with me? In other words, I know that all over the world, there's this bumper sticker deals with Romans 12, 1 and 2. But today, for just a moment, I just want to, let's take a look what's on the left and the right of it. Let's take a look on how that verse is dropped in the context. Everybody with me? So go back to chapter 11, if you will, and we're going to start at verse 25. And I think, if you don't mind, I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. I might jump around a little bit, but I'm going to start this off for purposes of understanding.
It says in verse 25, I want you to understand this mystery, dear brothers and sisters, so that you will not feel proud about yourselves. That's talking already, isn't it? Some of the people of Israel have hard hearts, but this will last only until the full number of Gentiles comes to Christ. And so all Israel will be saved, as the scriptures say, the one who rescues will come from Jerusalem, and he will turn Israel away from ungodliness. And this is my covenant with them, that I will take away their sins. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Many of the people of Israel are now enemies of the good news and the benefits, you Gentiles, yet they are still the people he loves because he chose their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Speaking about the Jews, he says, for God's gift and his call can never be withdrawn. Once you Gentiles were rebels against God, but when the people of Israel rebelled against him, God was merciful to you instead. God was what?
Merciful.
Now they are the rebels, and God's mercy, second time, has come to you so that they too will share in God's what? Three times. For God has imprisoned everyone in disobedience so he could have
mercy.
Four times on everyone. Oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge. How impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and his ways. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give him advice? And who has given him so much that he needs to pay it back? For everything comes from him and exists by his power. Everything comes from what?
Yeah.
And exists by his
power.
And his intended for his glory. All glory to him forever. Amen. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
I am not allotted the opportunity to teach this passage of scripture. I just want to highlight 3 points out of this so far. The first one is that who is this context about, or who is this passage about? It's contrasting between the Gentiles and the Jews. And as it's contrasting, here's the point. Number two, the major point is that no matter where you are, God's mercy will engraft you in.
Amen.
Listen, it doesn't matter where the Israel or children of Israel may not believe in Jesus Christ right now, those that are traditional Jews. It does not matter if we were once Gentiles. It does not matter where place you might be in. God has loved us, chosen us, and he will allow the mercy of God to engraft us into the promises of God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And then it says, number three, this thought. It says, how can we know God's thoughts? And who can figure God out? You know, we even say in Christianity, you know, that God moves, God works in mysterious ways. Don't we say that?
Yes.
But let us rightly divide the word of truth. Can we rightly divide the word of truth? Do you understand that the Bible also says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it been entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But, say but, say
but
we can know them by his spirit. Come on, that's powerful right there. In other words, this scripture is speaking to those that do not have literally God on the inside of you. Because even later in that passage of scripture, it says, for we have been given the mind of Christ. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. We've got God himself living on the inside of us. Therefore, anything that God wants to get to us, he can speak to us by his voice through the Holy Spirit. We have access to know the things of God. How? No, God doesn't have to work in mysterious ways. The Bible says in Psalms 103 that Moses knew his ways. They knew, the children of Israel knew his acts. We have the opportunity to know God's ways and to know God by his spirit. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So therefore now go to Romans chapter 12. The Bible says in New Living Translation, verse 1, I want you to see it because it's really good reading. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. By what? Then you will learn to know God's will for you that is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privileges, come on, listen at this passage. Because of the privileges and the authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, in his what?
Grace.
God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong and hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble. I'm going to let that savor a little bit. Be what? In what? Be patient in trouble. And then it says, keep on. Keep on what? When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them out. Don't curse them. Pray. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who what? Boy, this is such a good passage. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. Isn't that good? And don't think you know it all. Selah. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. And then look at this last verse. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. And everybody said amen. Isn't that good? That's just good reading. Woo! I just felt like that was just a whole salad too. Amen. Praise God. I want to talk about elevation. I want to talk about what?
Elevation.
I want you to know that we've got to go through this swiftly, but there's different ways of going up or different ways of elevating. Different ways of what?
Elevating.
And I want to use the highlighted ways, right? In other words, look at these people here. They're on their way what? Let me ask you a quick question. Those online as well, just, you know, raise your hand or something like that. But how many of y'all have ever been stuck in an elevator? Are you serious? Wow, look at this. Look at this. People have been stuck in the elevator. Listen, what's the longest we have in here? In the first service, we had 30 minutes. Anybody?
22 minutes.
20? You, sister, do you know the seconds too, Sister Carly? You started off. But how many know if you stuck in an elevator, you don't want to be stuck in an elevator with somebody that's looking like they're ready to kill you?
No.
Or are you with me? Amen. How many know you also don't, you might not want to be on an elevator, stuck in an elevator with somebody that just got through eating a lot of sour cream either. I can't get any help up in here. Amen. I'm just saying that when we talk about being stuck on an elevator, but there's different things about elevators. One is that depending on how high you go, an elevator is the best route to go. Is there with me? In other words, you don't get a lot of help when you get on the elevator and they say, oh, what floor are you, two? How many know you don't typically get something good going on with that? But if you're going on floor 12, then that's the fastest place to go. Are you with me? But I want to talk about, so an elevator is definitely one way to go, but it's based on how much you have. Do you know that at FedEx, for instance, I know I tell a lot of FedEx stories, but at FedEx they tell us, don't use the elevator, right? Because here's something about elevators. When you're trying to take an elevator, you are leaving it up to an uncertainty. Like, you don't know if it's coming. You don't know how long it's going to take. You don't know if that one's broken. How many know that if you wait on an elevator, you're losing time? But if you're going to the 12th floor, because I'm going to tell you something. I don't care what they say. If you got 100 pounds, I'm not taking the stairs.
Yeah.
I have to ask a manager, can you ride with me today? Amen. But I love this picture here because another way to go up is through an escalator. The escalator gets you an opportunity to use two different things working for you. You see, you can go to the escalator and it just takes you up, right? Yeah. But if you want to, you can also start going with it, so you got a double moment motion going. Are you with me? But look next to it. It has a stairwell. And the reason they tell us to take the stairwell, because the stairwell gives you the most amount of power that you control how fast and how high you can go. You see, no matter what, there's different entryways for elevation. There's different entryways for what?
Elevation.
Amen. You know, no matter where you are, no matter what your entryway is, I want you to know we all want to go up. We all want to go what?
Up.
We all want to do what?
Up.
So therefore, I want to share with you, even if it's super fancy, it doesn't really matter. What matters is that we're all trying to do what? I want you to write these down real quickly, please, if you will. I want to share with you, these are literally what we just read in Scripture. So therefore, these are the express entries to elevation. These are the express what?
Entry.
To what?
Elevation.
Now, this is very important. I want to share something with you. I want you to hear this, and this is well grounded here. Wow, I got to preach fast. You see, the reason we're sharing these is because I am very much so concerned that people in this room and people online and people, you know, it just came from the East Coast all the way over to Nebraska and every place that you find people, there are people that feel like they've gone as far as they could go. Mm-hmm. I have discovered sitting with people and even in big families or small families, there are people that may be sitting next to a cousin, an aunt, or a mother, and they're literally internalized with a frustration so deep that they don't even know if they can sit with them. There's things at certain weddings that we had to sit people in certain places. Are you with me? All I'm trying to say to you is that, only because I got to go fast, I was watching service last week, and Pastor Jeremy said something that, and I don't know if he said it or not, but I want to use it as though he did say it. And I want to make this really clear. He said this statement. He says, you know, even if it was pastor, and he was talking about as Pastor Holland was preaching, he says, pastor is, no matter what his message is, he's not trying to get you to do more. I'm going to say that again. He said, I'm not trying to get you to what? I think it's really important that everybody hears this and know this from my heart and from my spirit is that, you know what? I'm not here trying to get you to do more. Because, listen, I know there are people in this room and maybe even doctrines or whatever that, you know what, I know you're doing everything you can. Are you with me? I know you're doing everything you what? But some of us in all of our doing or not doing or whatever it is, some of us are in situations that our lives are being dried out, emptied, frustrated, crying in bathrooms, breaking things, throwing Bibles, throwing bottles, doing certain things where we are leveled out and hard, and people are dealing with depressions and people are anxieties and stresses and pills and smoking and doing different things and can't sleep at night, getting up in the middle. And I'm talking about these are some of us are absolutely spirit-filled, on fire, believers that are dealing with situations. And so therefore, I'm not trying to get you to do more. I'm not trying to get you to what?
Do more.
But I am trying to get us to do differently. I'm going to go over here. I am trying to get us to do what? Because if we do things, like if somebody, if let's say Brandon knows how to hammer a nail better than I do, and I keep hitting my thumb and all of my nails are bending and I'm spending more time at Lowe's, I need to learn how to do something different so I can get different results. I need to learn how to do something what? Differently.
Different.
Say different. So I want to share with you right from scripture, if you want to learn how to get into the express lane, listen, this is straight. If you're willing, listen, I'm just going to say it again. If you are willing to put something different in place, you will elevate.
Amen.
You will what?
Elevate.
Let me tell you what I mean. The very first thing we've got to learn how to do, number one, is desiring God. We've got to learn how to do what? The Bible says, and we read it, if any man desires to be my disciple, if anyone desires what I give, if anyone desires to be a recipient of what I fulfilled and accomplished in the earth, you've got to learn how to desire God. You've got to do what? Do what? Number two, we've got to learn how to deny yourself. Come on. Number two is what? Denying your what? Jesus said this. Jesus said, deny yourself. How many know there's things in our lives that if we just learned how to deny yourself. Somebody say amen. Amen. Number three is dying to.
Self.
Dying to what?
Self.
Which means what?
Pick up your cross.
Pick up your what?
Cross.
If we learned how to die to yourself, you could have all of the things that you've been often asking for. But one of the key essentials is dying to yourself. How many know some of us don't even make good decisions because we can't see beyond ourselves? That's just good preaching, amen. Number four is learning how to decide to follow Jesus. He said, now look, Jesus says this, if anyone desires to be my disciple, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. I want you to know this is the express entries to elevation. He says it in the very next passage of scripture. If any person would be willing to lose their life, then they would gain their life. You see what I mean? If you want to gain your life, that's an elevation. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You know what? If you were on 5 pills a day right now and you went to 3, that would be elevation. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
How many know if your doctor bills change from whatever thousands right now to being debt-free, how many know you wouldn't be worried?
Amen.
I want you to understand that then number 5 requires us the renewing of your what? The renewing of your what?
Mind.
Which is a word I want to put in place called what?
Reminding.
That's good right there. How many know renewing of the mind is
reminding
you of what Jesus Christ has done for you? How many know reminding is learning new things? Is anybody making any God sense here?
Amen.
So can I share with you what it means now?
Yeah.
Let's go further. I want to break this verse down, and I've got to do it swiftly, but watch this. Oh, I wish I could have some fun with this. But listen, Paul the Apostle is the writer of the book of Romans. And Paul the Apostle, I'm going to show you 8 things. And Paul the Apostle, he writes this verse in chapter 12, verse 1. And he says, brothers and sisters. Can I share with you what that means? It means he is writing to, watch this. He is writing to Jews and Gentiles. He is writing to people that are impoverished. He is writing to people that are the aristocrats of the day. Do you know why? Because Paul himself, as an apostle, he has literally like a post-doctorate, like a PhD of those times, because he studied under Gamaliel, which was a high-level teacher. And not only has he done that, but they say scholarly-wise, he speaks five languages. He is of the tribe of Benjamin, which is of a great tribe, and of the children of Israel. He is educated. He is wealthy. He is born of two different types of sets. He knows how to speak languages. He has a great education. He himself deemed as one that was in the land and of the children of Israel. I want you to know that he's high level, but he speaks to those that are low level. He speaks to every demographic. He doesn't matter what melanin of was. He doesn't matter where and who you were. What if you had money, no money. If you did have something or didn't have something. He was speaking to us the same as though he says all of us, brothers and sisters. How many of you know that if he can do it, we can do it? When it goes to the next one, I want you to understand he's applying it to everyone. Y'all know you got to watch where I put stuff. Yeah. I need y'all to watch that. Amen. He says beseech. He says what? Now, I know that's a King James word, but can I break that down for you? Say beseech. Stop that. You know I can put my amen on Siri, amen. Say beseech. This is very important because it kind of is the cusp of the message. Beseech. The word beseech, you remember in one translation it said urge. Another translation it said plead. Can I tell you what this means? Paul, I just told you, this guy is literally a high-ranking, high-level guy in all that he knows and in his writing and everything like that. And he now says this word that literally says, I beseech you. Brothers and sisters, I beseech you. I plead with you. I urge you. In other words, Paul is begging. Paul has lowered himself to begging. Now, why is that important to us? Because if he's begging, then we ought to pay attention to what he's begging for. Because whatever he's about to say, he's begging us, pleading with us. I mean, he's like doing it as though he was on his knees, right? He says, I beg of you that you do this. Paul is trying to let us know this, and certainly God trying to let us know this. God is saying to us, I beseech you. I plead with you. I urge you. Please listen, and I want you to make sure that you do this very thing. He's begging us. He's begging us by the mercies of God. By the what? Oh, let me preach this for just a half a second. I don't know about you. The Bible we just read talked about pride twice, right? I don't know about your situation, but it's for me, and I know this may not fit with everybody's teaching of how they do it or whatever, but I'm talking about me. I know that I used to be a dirty dog. I know that I was messed up. I know that I wasn't the best. I know that I was hiding and doing things secretively and doing things bad, but I don't know how I got here. Oh, I do know. It's by the mercies of God. I don't know how you got here, but I got here by the mercies of God. I know that I deserve some things that I never got. I know that I shouldn't have got what I did get by his grace, but I want everybody to understand, in order for me to be a recipient of all of these riches of God's goodness and his greatness and his glory that I'm able to live in now and be sin free and forgiven and nobody looking for me and I don't have to look over my shoulder, it's been because of the mercies of God. I know I come therefore boldly to the throne of grace that I can obtain mercy so that I may receive grace at a time of need. And when I was in my deepest need, his mercies kept things back from me. And therefore today, I don't care if I shout, holler or not, I am saying to you, I got to hear because of the mercies of God. What about you? There ought to be a few shouters in the house. I know you may not be everywhere you want to be, but thanks be to God I am where I am because of the mercies of God. Hallelujah. Whoa. Jesus. There you go. Where is it? Oh, thank you very much. Brandon, come on, man of God.
Everybody say present. Turn to your neighbor and say present. This is very important. Gabby, this is now an elevation. This is a what?
Elevation.
In other words, I got to preach this super fast, but listen. I want y'all to know he starts off in the passage by brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. He starts off with what? Wait a minute. Something happened. There was an elevation. There was a what?
Elevation.
Can I tell you why there's an elevation? Because it says present. Everybody say present.
Present.
You see, now that he says present, we go from just being the family of God to now we become the priest of God. That's powerful. Because get this, the only ones that can present anything to God is priests. So now we go from brothers and sisters to now we got a call on our lives because we are now what? We are now what? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians and 1 Peter chapter 2, we have now been given a royal priesthood. We have a what? Royal priesthood. We have a what? I don't care if we're teens, youth. I don't care where we work at. I don't care how we play beautifully. I don't care if we're Gideon. I don't care if we're just a screaming, bald-head black man. I'm just telling you, we are now priests. And I want you to know I don't have to wear a collar to be a priest because God just said I was a priest. And to be a priest, I got to present to God. I got to what? Now, this is very important. Write this down. I hope y'all taking notes. Listen, this is super fast stuff here. Listen, say priest. A priest is one that makes an offering. A priest makes a what?
Offering.
This is really important, y'all. A priest makes a what?
Offering.
A priest makes an offering because only a priest can present to God. So if a priest makes a what?
Offering.
Then he's the one that makes to present. But there's a difference between the offering, write it down, and the offerer. This is important. This present and this next one is like the whole message. Listen, there's the difference between the offerer and the what?
Offering.
There's a difference between the offerer and the
offering.
So, Paul the apostle is about to do something that is literally puts us in something that is so profound. Whatever language he's about to use can only be applied. The language only comes from Jesus. Because look, only Jesus has been the one that was the high priest who became the offering. Oh, y'all didn't get that. Listen. Stay with me. The offerer becomes the what? In other words, Jesus is the one who became the Lamb of God for our sins. Therefore, the priest gave an offering of himself. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But Paul is about to say something to us that has only been applied to Jesus. And that is this: offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. Oh, my God. You see, how can this be? I want you to know it's about elevation. It's because God wants us to understand if we ever want to get to the up, to the elevation of where God wants to take you, you've got to be able to go from just being a family of God, because, you know, some of us just come to be fed, and some of us just come to be inspired, and some of us just come because it's Sunday and there's good singing, and the man, you know, he's funny, he's bald, he preaches really loud and spits a lot. You know, I understand that. But at some point, you know, you've got to realize, you know, I'm not just here to give and be entertained. I'm also a living sacrifice. Now, because we have to go so fast, we only got a few more minutes. Say living sacrifice. Say living sacrifice.
Living sacrifice.
How many know that it had to be a living sacrifice? Because listen, Paul is now reaching back into the Old Testament. He's reaching back into the tabernacle. He's reaching back into the temples. And he's using the language of what they used to do in the Old Testament that we don't have to do anymore. Are you with me? But he uses the language to teach us something. Can I share with you what it is? Look at this picture. Because there's two altars in the tabernacle, and the altar of burnt offering and the offering and the altar of incense. And therefore, on that one that you see there is of the altar of the burnt offering. And you see, look at this, it had to be a living sacrifice, because you're giving it to a living God. Oh, you didn't get that. Because he's a living God. He's a what? So therefore, as they get ready to make this living sacrifice, we see this lamb, and he's putting it on the altar. But you see those particular arms, those horns that stick out over there? You see, they were a part of the altar. They couldn't be a part on, like, put on or built on it. It actually had to be a part of it. Because you see, on there is where they would tie the living sacrifice on them in order that he might stay there. Because, how many know, if I was hot, I would just get off of it. But here it is. We understand that they had to put those on them because let me try to explain a little bit, right? So let's say I was a living sacrifice. How many know I would be stretched out and I would be held by these cords? Are you with me? I said, are you with me? Don't have me up here looking like this and y'all don't say amen. So the cords is holding me, and this is very important, because get this, if I'm being held down by cords, everybody say cords. Why does God want us to be held down? That doesn't seem right. I don't think that's right either. I mean, but you know what else? In order for us to sometimes be elevated or sometimes go up, we need to learn how to be constrained and restrained to ourselves. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. Part of elevation is learning how to deny yourself. And let me understand that some of us, we just are so loose that we get all kind of loose things in our lives. Oh, I'm preaching better than you. I'm preaching better than you shouting now. Right? Come on now. How many know that there are some things that, you know, God has... that's trying to let us to understand. You got to do. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's the love of God that constrains me. How many know you've got to have a love for God in such a way that, you know what, I just don't do everything. How many understand all things are liberal, but not everything edifies? In other words, there are some things that some of us are entrapped in is because we started them. God didn't start them. So therefore, how is it now that we're going to elevate and I still got this weight? Let us cast off the weight that so easily besets us, and let us stretch forth for the thing that is before us, that we might be elevated to the place that God has called us. Somebody say amen. Because look at this here. This is the incense. I mean, this is not the incense, but this is the altar, because the family is praying. The family is what?
Praying.
I want to keep going. The Bible says holy. Say holy. We want to talk about holy, because that word, there's this word holy, just write it down. It means to be set apart for God's purpose or for holy use. To be set apart, to be consecrated. Meaning whatever I am and whoever I am and what I do, I'm doing this because I'm set apart for God. I'm set apart for who?
God.
And then it says this word here, acceptable. Say acceptable.
Acceptable.
Oh, we're about to go somewhere on these next two slides. Can I? Because we're going to close it. Listen, say acceptable. Turn your neighbor and say acceptable.
Acceptable.
I might cry a little bit. It's okay. You can come up now if you would. Listen, say acceptable.
Acceptable.
I want to turn this into this thought here. You see, even Pastor Turan, I'm just being open and being kind of raw and vulnerable here. You know, I really like this message about accept it. Say accept it.
Acceptable.
You know, I want you to hear this. This is going to encourage you. Even if man don't accept you, God still accepts you. Come on. Listen. Have you ever tried to do everything you can to be a part of somebody's life and be a blessing. And you do it all the things you can do. You read all the scriptures and you do all the studying you can. And you just go around and you help people and you do what you can. And maybe it's your children and you're praying for them at night and you call them in the morning and you text them at midday. Or maybe you're at work for the bosses and you're working extra. You don't stay on break too long. You come out. How many understand that? Even though you do everything you can do, you may not be accepted by man. But the Bible says here, when we offer ourselves unto God as a living sacrifice, holy, that God, he's the one that accepts us for who we are, because we are his children. You might not like me. You may not like the way I do it, but God still saves people. God still heals people. God still helps people. Why is that? Because it's God who accepts you. Glory to God. Say, God accepts me. Say, God accepts me. I might cry some tears that you don't see. I might pray some prayers you don't know about. Let me tell you something. Yeah, I run around this room because I also run around at 403 Jeffrey Lane too. I don't know God to know. Thank you, Lord God. When I was unacceptable, you let your son die for me and gave me a life that now I am accepted by heaven on earth in Jesus' name. Now I'm going to catch with a really big net. I'm going to catch elders and children. Because somehow you may have thought that I missed something, but I didn't. He said, for your reasonable act of spiritual service and worship. Read that with me. I am not saying that we offer rams and lambs and goats and cattle anymore to be accepted. Jesus Christ is the perfect sacrifice. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that he is the altar. You see, we no longer take animals to a tabernacle. We no longer take turtle doves as though we're poor and impoverished and give them to the priest anymore. Because Jesus Christ, he's the high priest, and he offered himself as the offering, the perfect lamb to save us from all human experiences. To those that feel like they've gone as far as they can go, Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. To the one that is frustrated, we don't need to go to another altar. Jesus is the altar now. Even if you feel like, get this, you need to be on fire. You see, that first altar, it came from heaven. God is the one that lit that fire. But even though the first fire came from God, the priests were responsible to keep that fire lit. God wants you to know he lights your fire, but he entrusts in you to keep the fire burning. God wants you to know Jesus is the Son of God. He's the altar. He's the sacrifice. No one else has to do it. No one else can do it. Every sacrifice had to be without a blemish, and he was without spot or blemish. He was not blameless. He was without sin. Therefore, Jesus is the living sacrifice. Give the Lord a big praise offering. Stand to your feet. Listen. I started really thinking by what Pastor Jeremy said. Does Pastor want us to do more? Is that how I preach? Is that the words that's coming out of my mouth? Am I really trying to get us to live according to the law or legalism or works of the flesh to satisfy God? I remember being in all of these Airbnbs or cabins that I've been. The other night, I was up late. Man, I started writing out example after example. I was writing so fast, I couldn't even read them if I could. But I want you to bow in your heads. And I want to talk to you just a moment and say amen. You see, last night, we drove back from Nebraska, and Anna Maria was the one who drove. So she just drove 3 hours back. We get home just before 12. She helps unpack the car. We're taking luggage upstairs, and she's doing all of that. And then when she gets upstairs, she says to me, "Honey, what can I make you to eat?" I want you to know something. That is not done out of works of the flesh because she's trying to earn something. She did that out of a loving relationship. She did that out of a relationship of love. There's times right before we go to bed, she'll say, "Honey, can you go downstairs in the garage and get me one of those waters?" And I get out the bed and I put on the robe because it's going to be so cold, and put on some house shoes and walk down the steps in the dark and go into the garage where it's cold, and I'll go in the refrigerator and get 3-4 bottles and bring it upstairs and put it in the refrigerator and take one to her and open the cap up and give it to her all ready to drink. Not because I'm trying to earn anything from doing that. It's because of a loving relationship that we now do those things. So I say to us here, we're not talking about do more. We're not talking about earn anything. We're talking about a Jesus who wants a relational love that you, in response to what he's already done, you offer yourself as a living sacrifice. Father, thank you so much. We can never repay you. We owe you everything. And we thank you for being a good, good Father who is perfect in all of your ways. If you're in this room or if you're online, I would be irresponsible if I did not ask you a question. If you're in this room and I'm speaking to you because you've gone as far as you can go, I want you to get ready to give lift of your hand. If I'm speaking to you that everything looks right on the outside, you got the children, you got the house, you got the cars, you got the bikes, you got the job, you got the finances, you got the savings account, but just inside, I'm just frustrated. Maybe it's you today and I'm just in here and I'm dealing with the flesh. I am in a crazy cycle. I just keep going back to my vice. I don't know how to break out of this. If you're here today and you know you were once on fire, but did the pilot light go out? Did something happen to me? Jesus wants to light your fire, and you are entrusted that you will keep it burning. If that's you today, I'm going to ask that you would just lift up your hand right now. Pastor, that's speaking to me. We're just going to pray a short prayer. Thank you so much, woman of God. Thank you, woman of God. Thank you, woman of God. Thank you, man of God. Thank you, woman of God. Father, in the name of your son, Jesus, with the hands that are held up high, with the hearts that they belong to, just like you lit that altar, light that altar of their heart right now, God. To the ones that your heart feels tied in a knot. I don't know who that is. You know what? Your heart feels like it's tied in a knot, like you're being cut off, like you don't have a life flow of blood inside of you. I don't know who that is. I just want to ask that Jesus cut it right now. Just like when the veil tore from the top to the bottom, may that tear off of you and your heart will be able to have a pulse again. Thank you, Father, for your sweet, sweet spirit. For you are the one who makes us free. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. and amen. Come on, give the Lord a big shout if you will. Come on, give the Lord a big shout if you will. Come on. Thank you, Father, for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We are dismissed. Starting Point Lunch, if you're supposed to be going there today.